नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो सिक्स्थ चैप्टर 19th चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड द पुंसवन रिचुअलिस्टिक सेरेमनी टेक्स्ट नंबर 19-28 So since this verse which is on the board is on 25th verse, so initially I'll read the previous verses and then when we come on 25th, we will read the verse on the board. Text number 19 and 20, translation. One should accept this Vishnu Vrata, which is a vow in devotional service, and should not deviate from its execution to engage in anything else. By offering the remnants of prasad, flower garlands, sandalwood pulp and ornaments, one should daily worship the brahmanas and worship women who peacefully live with their husbands and children. Every day the wife must continue following the regulative principles to worship Lord Vishnu with great devotion. Thereafter Lord Vishnu should be laid in his bed and then one should take prasad. In this way husband and wife will be purified and will have all their desires fulfilled. Text number 21. The chaste wife must perform such devotional service continuously for 1 year. After 1 year passes, one should fast on the full moon day in the month of Kartik, October, November. Text 22. On the morning of the next day, one should wash oneself and after worshipping Lord Krishna as before, one should cook as one cooks for festivals as stated in the Griha Sutras. Sweet rice should be cooked with ghee and with this preparation the husband should offer oblations to the fire 12 times. Text 23. Translation. Thereafter he should satisfy the brahmanas. When the satisfied brahmanas bestow their blessings, he should devotedly offer them respectful obeisances with his head. And with their permission, he should take prasad. Text 24. Before taking his meal, the husband must first seat the acharya comfortably, and along with his relatives and friends, should control his speech and offer prasad to the guru. Then the wife should eat the remnants of the oblation of sweet rice cooked with ghee. Eating the remnants ensures a learned, devoted son and all good fortune. Text 25, which is displayed on the board today. Etat. Etat charitva vidivad vratam vibhor. Abhipsitartham labhate puman iha. स्त्री चैतदास्ताय लभेत सौभगम् श्रियं प्रजां जीवपतिं यशो गृहम् एतत् चरित्वा विधिवद् व्रतं विभोर् अभीप्सितार्थं लभते पुमान् इह स्त्री चैतदास्ताय लभेत सौभगम् श्रियं प्रजां जीवपतिं यशो गृहम् Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. If this vow or ritualistic ceremony is observed according to the description of Shastra, even in this life a man will be able to achieve all the benedictions he desires from the Lord. A wife who performs this ritualistic ceremony will surely receive good fortune, opulence, sons, a long living husband, a good reputation and a good home. Purport. In Bengal, even today, If a woman lives for a long time with her husband, she is considered very fortunate. A woman generally desires a good husband, good children, good home, prosperity, opulence, and so on. As recommended in this verse, a woman will receive all these desirable benedictions, and a man will also be able to receive all benedictions from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, by performing this particular type of vrata, a man and a woman in Krishna consciousness will be happy in this material world, and because of being Krishna conscious, they will be promoted to the spiritual world. Text number 26 and 28, which finishes the chapter. Translation: if an unmarried girl observes this vrata, she will be able to get a very good husband. If a woman who is avira, who has no husband or son, executes this ritualistic ceremony, she can be promoted to the spiritual world. A woman whose children have died after birth can get a child with a long duration of life and also become very fortunate in possessing wealth. If a woman is unfortunate, she will become fortunate, and if ugly, she will become beautiful. By observing this vrata, a diseased man can gain relief from his disease and have an able body with which to work. If one recites this narration while offering oblations to the pitas and demigods, especially during the Shraddha ceremony, the demigods and inhabitants of Pritraloka will be extremely pleased with him and bestow upon him the fulfillment of all desires. After one performs this ritualistic ceremony, Lord Vishnu and his wife, Mother Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, are very pleased with him. O King Parikshit, now I have completely described how Diti performed this ceremony and had good children, the Maruts, and a happy life. I have tried to explain this to you as elaborately as possible. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 6th canto, 19th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Performing the Pumsavan Ritualistic Ceremony, end of the 6th canto. Hare Krishna. I like to seek blessings from all the assembled Vaishnavas, especially some senior devotees who are sitting here. Today in our class, we'll be discussing initially an introductory part of the importance of vows, and then later, based on today's purport, we'll discuss two themes. One is how to maintain good relationship, and second is how we will see instances from Lord Krishna's pastime where Lord Krishna reciprocated with various devotees who had desire to have a son. So initially, introduction, we can see today that his whole chapter is titled as Pumsavan Ritualistic Ceremony or Pumsavan Vrata. So we are seeing that how Diti is performing this vrata. And coincidentally, this season also is season of vratas. We see Vaishnava calendar, so many vratas are coming. It all started with Ananta Chaturdashi Vrata. And now, of course, Chaturmasya Vrata is going on. Then soon, Urja Vrata, Kartik Vrata will start. Then later followed by Bhishma Panchaka. And then Katyayini Vrata. So this is season of vrata. And amazingly, Diti also finished her vrata in the month of October-November, which we are now in. So, if you analyze all these vratas, an amazing thing is that all these vratas are done for satisfying Lord Krishna and Lord Krishna's consort, Srimati Radharani or Lakshmi Narayan, as Prabhupada puts in the purport here. Even if you see this vrata which Diti is following, if you analyze the whole vrata, you will see it is fully Krishna conscious. I mean, this whole chapter, chapter 19th, is an extension to Maharaj Parikshit's question on Pumsavan Bhav. The chapter is already over where Diti has performed her vrata and she has got a son. But now Parikshit Maharaj is asking a question to Sukhdev Goswami: what is this Pumsavan Vrata? Please explain me if it is pleasing to Supreme Personality about it. And Sukhdev Goswami explains, because this vrata is pleasing to Supreme Lord. And as the translations go, I'll just go through the whole translation in short, what exactly this vrata is all about, and we can analyze and we can see that how this whole vow was to satisfy Krishna. So the beginning is that Sukadeva Goswami is confirming that this vow which I am going to speak is actually pleasing to Supreme Lord. And then he mentions, Sukadeva Goswami, that on the first day of the bright fortnight of the month of Agrahayan, November and December, following the instructions of her husband, a woman should begin this regulative devotional service with a vow of penance. And it continues so on. And then it is mentioned that she should worship Lord Vishnu and Mother Lakshmi. After profusely offering obeisance to Lord Vishnu, then the devotee who is doing this vow should offer respectful obeisances unto Mother Lakshmi and then pray to her as follows. Then the prayer is given. Then after that, one should chant the following mantra and one should offer obeisances, dandavat, to the Lord. And then this woman who is following this vrata, she should accept her husband as a representative of Supreme Lord and then worship husband with unalloyed devotion by offering him prasad. And the translation also mentions, if a wife is unable to execute this process, the husband should carefully do so and the faithful wife will share the result. But if wife is doing, then wife should daily worship the Brahmanas later after worshipping Lakshmi Narayan. And she should also worship woman who peacefully live with her husbands and children. And after 1 year of this vrata vow, she should fast on the full moon day in the month of Kartik. That means the vow is there, and to complete the vow, there is a scientific process of breaking the vow also, or completing the vow. Just like after Ekadashi, we have paran timing. Similarly, after finishing of this vow, Diti also has been told to fast on a particular day to break the vow, to finish the vow rather. And the next day, as we have, after Ekadashi, we have a feast. Similarly, she is also told that you should cook as if you have a festival at home. And after the prasad has been cooked, especially sweet rice should be cooked with ghee, and then one should satisfy the brahmanas. The translation goes further that before taking his meal, then the husband now takes over and he should offer now guru all the respectful obeisances and prayers and offer him prasad, and then he should partake. And at the end, the wife should eat remnants of the oblation of sweet rice cooked with ghee. And eating this remnant, then she will get a learned and a devoted son and all good fortune. So we are seeing throughout this whole thing that what is the purpose of this vrata? Ultimately to please Krishna. So by doing this vrata, we are showing our dependency on Lord Krishna. Diti, she was completely depending on Lord Vishnu to get that benediction of having a son. And Kashyap Muni had very nicely told her how to perform this vrata. And by performing this vrata, she got purified. The most important thing in this whole analysis of this vrata is that complete dependency on the Lord is there, plus one's endeavor is also there. There is not just prayers only, but there is execution of vows. Now, Shruti Dharam Prabhu had come here and he was mentioning that the very nice point on Vandaram. He was mentioning Vandaram means prayers. But prayers doesn't mean only going and praying to Lord, that's all. No. Praying also means our own endeavor is required. And he was quoting a very nice book, a nice author, who is not a devotee, but he was quoting that his author says, when you pray to God in such a way that everything depends on God. But when you work in such a way that everything depends on you. The whole idea is that one should not just keep praying to God and not do anything, but one should sincerely endeavor to execute Krishna consciousness and also pray completely depending on the Lord. That means one's endeavor is also important, as well as dependency on God is important. So when there is endeavor, there is sincere service, then the prayers are fructified. Not just empty prayers, but prayers accompanied by endeavors. And we find this not only in this particular instance, everywhere. even in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, and the most prominent acharyas in our sampradaya among the six Goswamis were Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. And if you see their life, after they met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the first time at Ramakeli, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went ahead with this yatra, they were thinking in their minds how we should completely reject, give up this governmental post and join Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. But it was not easy for them. It was very difficult because they were dealing with a Muslim ruler. So it is mentioned that Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami decided to execute a vow. And Chaitanya Charitamrita mentions that this vow was called as Purushcharan vow. And Srila Prabhupada in purport writes, what is this Purushcharan vow? Prabhupada mentions that Purushcharan vow is a vow which should be executed under the expert guidance of one's spiritual master. And the person should rise early in the morning, chant Hare Krishna, worship the deities. And in this way, by following this Purushcharan vow, one will be able to get all of his desires fulfilled. Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami had only one desire to be fulfilled, and that was to join Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. And therefore they took this vow so that they can immediately and very fast realize this desire of them. But they were not just executing vows and praying to Krishna only, they are also endeavoring. On one instance we see Rupa Goswami executing this vow and chanting Hare Krishna and worshipping Lord. But on the other hand, Chaitanya Charitamrita also mentions that Rupa Goswami also was very intelligently planning how to execute this mission, this idea of joining Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Rupa Goswami initially, first he divided his property. 50% he gave to the Brahmanas and saintly persons, 25% to his relatives, and 25% he had left with a grocer. And that was a planning he had done for Sanatana Goswami, because he knew Sanatana Goswami would have problems ahead, and therefore he had planned. Simultaneously, Rupa Goswami also had sent two men to go to Jagannath Puri and check about the whereabouts of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And his idea was, as soon as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu starts for Vrindavan, then they will also leave from this place and join Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Vrindavan. So there is prayer and there is also an endeavor. So this is a wonderful thing which we learn. Endeavor is also important. So human life is meant for tapasya, as Lord Rishabhdev says, tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam shuddhya yasmat brahma sokhyam tanantam. That means human life cannot be without vows or tapasya. It is an integral part of human life. As a spiritualist, we have to undergo so many vows. During initiation, we take vows. And so many vows at different stages of our life. So one cannot go away from these vows. Even in materialistic world, society, there is vow involved. Prabhupada says that just like a devotee has vrata, drida vrata, a devotee has to be drida vrata in his so much of his vows. Prabhupada says jokingly that even a grihamedi has to have vow, griha vrata. What is griha vrata? Vrata that I will continue to live in this house, get attached. Even though I am seeing everywhere destruction, everything is going against my will, but there is a vow that I will continue to stay here and I will invest more and more in this house. That is griha vrata. So that is karmi lifestyle where there is vrata involved. In a devotee also, there is vrata. In non-devotee life, there is vrata. So human life is not possible without vrata. But there is a choice. For whom this vrata is done for? You do it for Krishna, or the material nature forces you to do this vrata? In the outside life, we see people are forced to do vrata, tapasya. Sometimes devotee goes out of preaching and they come and say, Prabhuji, it was real tapasya outside. Actually, it is tapasya. And everyone is doing tapasya outside. No one is ready to admit. But just by going for work, traveling in local train, it's a tapasya. So tapasya is involved in every walk of life. Just like we all have a vrata, the morning program vrata, which we are following. Srila Prabhupada has very beautifully designed this morning program, where we are following a vrata of attending the Mangala Arati, then chanting, then reading Srimad Bhagavatam, and so on and so forth. So even in material life, there is a vrata. They also have their morning program. What is their morning program? To rise in the morning, And just like we attend to Mangala Arati, they also attend to some music or some radio shows or some TV shows. Then after that, we take darshan of the deities. They also take their own darshan in the mirror. They decorate themselves. After that, we sip Charanamrit. They sip their tea. Then we read Srimad Bhagavatam. They read newspapers. So they also have their morning program and we also have their morning program. Now their morning program, the result is total chaos. If you analyze what we have achieved after so much of economic development, living in Mumbai city, we can see the only result we have achieved after so much of economic development is only tapasya. Like one devotee was analyzing what we achieved after so much of economic development. Huge queues, standing queues for a long time, rat race, hard work, jobs in shifts, crowded places, small house for huge loans, which goes on for 20 years, artificial environment to live in, and stressful life. Like one devotee was mentioning that every office today, every company has a counseling center. They would employ a person because during the work hours, the people who are working, employed, they are so much stressed. So they have to go to this particular department and relieve their stress. In fact, now since we are preaching in colleges, the most important topic to preach in colleges is art of mind control, stress management. Even schools are inviting us to speak on stress management. That means stress is even in the schools. Small kids have stress. College students have stress. It is not only the work stress, but even education there is stress. So the result of their morning program is stress and chaotic situation. But on the other hand, our morning vrata is very beautiful. Why? Because if you analyze, what do we have in our morning program? Five most potent forms of devotional service. In the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami mentioned 64 items of devotional service necessary for a sadhaka to practice. And in that, there are five most potent forms of devotional service. If one practices that five most potent forms of devotional service, then he will quickly advance to the stage of bhava. And that is what, that is associating with devotees, residing in holy place. Third is Srimad Bhagavatam hearing, chanting, and one more is deity worship, residing in them. So if we analyze our morning program, Srila Prabhupada has designed this whole morning program in such a way that is all these five items are there in this morning vrata. So whether it is tapasya or it's joyfully performed, the whole idea is when you go to the whole ordeal, we are actually on a fast track progressing to bhava stage. So that is the result. Difference between two vratas. Vrata in the material world and vrata in the spiritual life. So in this purport, today's purport, we'd like to discuss two important things. One is maintaining good relationship in any ashram. And second is instances from Lord Krishna's pastime of how Lord Krishna dealt with his devotees having a desire for a son. The first one is maintaining good relationship. Now, last number of days, we are hearing from His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj that how in Grihastha Ashram, husband and wife should cooperate and help each other. And in this way, the Grihastha Ashram can be a proper ashram for everyone to stay there. Actually, this whole concept of cooperation is present in every ashram. Not only Grihastha Ashram, Brahmacharya Ashram, Sannyasa Ashram, and Vanaprastha Ashram. Unless there is cooperation, there is no possibility of building the relationship. And this cooperation is also of two types. In the initial stages of relationship, the cooperation is based on tolerance. And the later stages, the cooperation is based on love and trust. One of the very senior ISKCON leaders today, a sannyasi, he was asked this question that, Maharaj, how you are able to have good relationship with your God brothers? And he mentioned that it has taken 20 to 30 years to develop this relationship based on love and trust. That means, initially there will always be cooperation based on tolerance. But tolerance whom? Tolerating whom? Not the other party. Tolerating our own mind. It is not the other party who is responsible. It is more our mind which is responsible. It is our mind which is seeing things The contaminated mind sees things, justifies, analyzes, interprets. In fact, everyone coming to Krishna consciousness has a baggage of karma, and everyone is trying his best. But the mind is interpreting, and therefore there is a crisis, there is a war, there is no peace. So therefore we should tolerate whom? Our own mind. And when we tolerate our own mind, then only slowly and gradually this cooperation will turn into cooperation based on love and trust. So cooperation based on tolerance is in every ashram. In Brahmacharya ashram, as soon as you join, then whether you like it or don't like it, you have to do a particular service under a particular devotee. In Grahastha ashram, a husband is supposed to tolerate and cooperate with wife, both together reciprocative. It is both sides. There is a nice story. One time her husband went to a saintly man, and his husband was having a complaint against his wife. So the husband said to the man, that saintly man, that what can I do? My wife is always shouting on me. So the saintly man said, don't worry, I have some cure for your problem. And then the saintly man gave him Ganga Jal. Take this Ganga Jal. And what should I do with the Ganga Jal? Whenever there is a fight, you should use this Ganga Jal. So the husband said, should I make my wife drink this Ganga Jal? I said, no. Whenever the wife starts shouting on you, you should drink the Ganga Jal. And when you drink the Ganga Jal, don't drink it. Keep in your mouth only. Don't gulp it. What will happen? Your wife will keep shouting. You cannot retaliate because there is Ganga Jal in your mouth. And therefore what will happen? It will be one-sided affair and the whole pressure will come down. That means tolerance. So husband should tolerate wife's shouts. On the other end, if the wife is troubling, the husband also should tolerate. There is another story, the story of Socrates. Socrates was a famous personality, a great philosopher of Greece. Now, everyone appreciated Socrates, but only one person, and that was his own wife. She didn't like at all Socrates preaching philosophy. So one time, some students of Socrates came to Socrates' house to discuss philosophy. Socrates was jubilant. At home, he was getting a chance to discuss philosophy. But wife was very angry. She was already angry with the profession, and now this fellow is inviting students to come inside the house and discuss philosophy in the house. So when they were discussing philosophy on a couch, she came from behind and started shouting abuses to Socrates. The students were bewildered, but Socrates was cool. He didn't respond. He kept on speaking philosophy, and she was shouting abuses. She was completely neglected by her husband. So she went away. Now when someone is neglected, the result is too much, very difficult. If someone reciprocates or speaks something, then the whole pressure goes down. But she was neglected, she became more angry. That time Socrates told all of his students that don't worry, my wife keeps thundering. That is her nature. So the wife went inside, Socrates' wife. She went into the kitchen, and now words came into actions. She started throwing things from the kitchen to throw at Socrates so that the whole dialogue ends. So Socrates was discussing with the students, and then one rolling pin comes out and lands between Socrates and the students. So now Socrates is aware what's going to happen next. So he's continuing discussing his philosophy. Then slowly the weapons become bigger in size, and it has become more difficult now to discuss philosophy in house. But Socrates is still coolly discussing philosophy. Who is bewildered? The students are bewildered. So Socrates said, I think so this place is not congenial for our philosophical discussion. Let us go into our lawn and discuss philosophy. So again the wife was neglected, and Socrates is coolly running out of the house to discuss in the lawn. The wife becomes more angry. She goes into the bathroom, carries a bucket full of water, runs up the stairs to the terrace, stands exactly at the spot where the door opens downstairs. And she is waiting with full aim with a bucket full of water. The students come out, nothing happens. As soon as Socrates comes out, the whole bucket is turned upside down on Socrates. The students are further bewildered, but Socrates, see his level of tolerance, he is smiling. He smiles and he tells the student, what do you expect after thunder? It has rained. So the point is, in any case, both have to tolerate. In any ashram, initially cooperation should be based on tolerance, and eventually this the relationship, the cooperation will be based on love and trust. Srila Prabhupada once approached by, at two instances, approached by two devotees with same problems. Kavichandra Maharaj was explaining this one situation, that one time one man, one devotee, new devotee, approached Srila Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, family life gives so much of happiness. So Prabhupada said, see all brahmacharis, they have no family life, still they are happy. And Prabhupada said, see Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had family life and he was happy. So family life or no family life? Family life doesn't give you happiness. Krishna consciousness gives happiness. So Krishna consciousness is more important in any stage of life. One time one devotee who recently got married, he came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, I have so much anxiety in my household life. And Prabhupada said, anxiety will be always there. If you get a beautiful wife, there will be anxiety. She will run away someone. If you have an ugly wife, you will be anxiety. I don't have a beautiful wife. And you think that, why to get married? So much ordeal. An immature desire not to get married. Then you will have anxiety of not being feeling any fulfillment in life. So any case, there will be anxiety. Therefore, chant Hare Krishna. This is the way to get anxiety out. So therefore, maintenance of good relationship, the first theme is based on tolerance and practicing of Krishna consciousness. Eventually, the relationship will bore into love and trust. Now, the second theme is, we will discuss two instances from Lord Krishna's pastime, which comes in the Krishna book, of Krishna reciprocating with his devotee's desire to have a good son. We will be discussing chapter which is entitled, Krishna Rescues the Son of His Teacher. And the chapter begins by, the previous chapter ends rather, with Krishna killing Kamsa. And now Krishna is approaching his mother and father, Vasudeva and Devaki, who have undergone such an ordeal in their life just to get Krishna as their son. After around 19 years of tolerating Kamsa, and now the Kamsa is killed. So Krishna is approaching and releasing his parents. But now, because Krishna has killed Kamsa and they have seen this, they have heard this, so what's happening is, when Krishna approaches Vasudeva and Devaki, Krishna sees that Vasudeva and Devaki, they are in awe and reverence because they are seeing their sons as Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Krishna doesn't appreciate this mood because it is disturbing the entire rasa of parental affair. So Srila Prabhupada begins the next chapter by saying that how in this material world, there is a loving relationship between father, mother and children because of the presence of illusory energy. Similarly, when a devotee desires Lord Krishna as his son, there should be also some energy prevalent, and that energy is yoga maya, not the illusory energy. So Krishna immediately covers Vasudeva and Devaki with yoga maya potency so that they completely forget that Krishna and Balaram are there, are Supreme Personality of Godheads. And Krishna then reciprocates with Vasudeva and Devaki in such a beautiful way. The whole narration has begun with Vasudeva and Devaki in awe and reverence. And we'll see that how Lord Krishna deals with Vasudeva and Devaki in such a way that now, later, after this narration is over, Vasudeva and Devaki will embrace Krishna and Balaram. So Krishna and Balaram approach Vasudeva and Devaki and they are glorifying. And they are telling, Lord Krishna is telling Devaki and Vasudeva, my dear father and mother, although you are anxious for our protection, you could not enjoy the pleasure of having us as your babies. Neither you could have the pleasure of seeing us grow into boyhood and later into adolescent youths. Srila Prabhupada says that Krishna is very expert in satisfying his devotees. Here, Krishna is saying, O Devaki and Vasudeva, you have missed the childhood of your children. Krishna is not saying that we have missed the childhood of our childhood with our parents. So Krishna is saying indirectly, Prabhupada is saying indirectly, Krishna is glorifying Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Maiya. That even though we were away from our parents, Vasudeva and Devaki, they did not make us feel. They exactly loved as if we were their children. So they were indirectly praising Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. Krishna went, goes on to, rather Srila Prabhupada comments on this verse that how it is very natural for a parents to enjoy the childhood activity of their children. It is very natural. Even in animal kingdom, this facility is available, Prabhupada says. And therefore, Krishna is trying to satisfy his parents because this facility they could not enjoy, which is very natural, because they were anxious to give protection to the children. Now, if we analyze, in today's world, we are degraded so much into less than animals that even an animal which has this propensity or rather this facility to enjoy the children's growing up, which even normally today outside, living entity cannot enjoy. In the world today, what we are seeing, that people are aborting the children's, that means no chance of seeing the children's get growing up. And even if the child is born, both the parents are working, and therefore the child is there in the, what we call them, creches, baby care. So therefore they don't get chance to see the child growing. Even this normal enjoyment available as a human being, which is also available for animals, is not available in human society today because of the prime importance given to sense gratification. So Krishna is glorifying further Vasudeva and Devaki that, oh my dear parents, it is our debt to you. We owe a debt to you. And Krishna mentions that every son, every child owes a debt to his parents. Why? Because the parents give body to the children. And then, by this body, Krishna says to his mother and his father, we are getting an opportunity to get a lot of wealth, to perform a lot of religious ceremonies, and so on and so forth, which is necessary for execution of human form of life. And Krishna says that if one doesn't fulfill or satisfy his parents, such a person will be punished in this life, and the next life he will be taken to hellish planets where he will be made to eat the flesh, his own flesh. So Krishna is glorifying the process of how one is inept to parents. And the whole prayers go in such a way that in the end, when Krishna was still speaking, Vasudeva and Devaki, they started shedding tears. And they immediately embraced Lord Krishna and Balram, which Krishna and Balram wanted initially. They completely forgot Krishna and Balram as Supreme Personality of Godhead, seeing them as own children. And now they are in a mood of reciprocating with Krishna's parental love. We recently went to Ujjain, and His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj was asked this question, that we all have a debt to our parents. So what to speak of devotees who have joined the ashram? What about them? So Bhakti Charu Maharaj narrated his own incident from his life, that how he is coming from a very aristocratic Bengali family, and when he joined the movement, when he went to his house to meet his father was surprised to see him in saffron brahmachari dress. And then his father was not happy. And his father was exactly quoting this kind of theme, that how we should serve parents. So Bhakti Charu Maharaj told him that there is no problem. Whatever you are saying is right. Serving parents has to be there. But now you have a choice. If I am with you, I will serve you. But how long? Either at time of death I have to depart, or generally seen in outside world today, people get married to serve parents, but in the end up parting away from parents and living a separate lifestyle with no connection with parents. And Bhakti Charu Maharaj gave him another choice. Another choice is, right now I am already serving you in a spiritual way, but when you are given me into the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what will happen is, I will serve you in this lifetime and also serve you in the next lifetime. That means your next life will also be a good life because of my service to the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, Lord Krishna continued glorifying Vasudeva and Devaki, and the point came when now Vasudeva and Devaki want to perform various religious functions. So they perform the sacred thread ceremony of Krishna and Balaram. Now, also like to tell you that how previously, in previous lifespan, Vasudev and Devaki were Sutapa and Prishni. And they had performed huge tapasya, vrata, to get Krishna as their son. And because of that, three births they got. The first birth, Prishni Garbha, Lord Vishnu came as Prishni Garbha. The second Lord came as Vamanadev. And the third now, Lord Krishna himself is coming. So they also had desire of son, and Krishna is coming as their son. Nanda and Yashoda were also Dhara and Drona in their previous lives. Also they had desire of getting Krishna as their son. So their desire also was fulfilled. So after this whole function of thread ceremony is over, then Krishna and Balaram are sent to Ujjain, to Sandipani Muni's ashram. Now there, under the expert guidance of Sandipani Muni, Sandipani Muni taught them amazing arts and skills. Krishna doesn't require all those things. Krishna already knows. But still, this pastime is there where Krishna learns. In 64 days, Krishna learns the whole education. Daytime, there is theory class. Nighttime, Krishna practices all those skills. 64 night outs for Krishna in Ujjain. And then after that, when the whole ceremony is over, it is mentioned that they go to Sandipani Muni and ask how we can give you Guru Dakshina. And Sandipani Muni is thinking, you know, that these are not ordinary persons. So let us discuss with my wife what Guru Dakshina we should ask. And they both have only one trouble in their life. It is that their dead son, their son was misplaced, was missing somewhere. And they came to know that maybe he is dead also. So they went to Krishna and Balaram and asked that they want their dead son back. So it is mentioned that Sandipani Muni was initially staying very far from Ujjain, staying somewhere near Gomati River. That was the place where he stayed. But he was told by some sages that he should shift to Ujjain, Avantipur, and your desire will be fulfilled there. And exactly Lord Krishna and Balaram came there. And it is mentioned, the Lok Katha there, that Sandipani Muni would regularly go every day in the morning to take bath in Gomati, because that was his regular practice. But it was very far from him. Even though by yogic process he would go day, three times in a day, but still that would take some time. So Krishna saw that. So Krishna wanted to serve his guru. So Krishna told Sandipani Muni that today when you go to Gomati, which is very far, please drop your kamandula and danda in the water and come back. So Sandipani Muni did like that. He came back. And next time he was about to go to Gomati, Krishna told them that there is a pond here, your own pukur. You can go and take bath there. When he went to take bath there, he saw that his danda and kamandula were in that water. That means Krishna served his guru by invoking Gomati river in the very place of Sandipani Muni's ashram. And it is still there today. Gomati Kund is there. So this is what is service. So at the end of this whole learning education, they asked for their dead son. So we see from Krishna book that how Lord Krishna initially goes to Prabhashetra on the banks of the ocean, demands from the ocean. The ocean says that this demon Panchajanya has killed the son. Krishna goes into the ocean, kills the Panchajanya demon, and takes the conch shell, and this becomes Krishna's Panchajanya Shankha, which Krishna carries and uses in Kurukshetra battle. And it goes on, Krishna takes the Varishank and goes to Samyami, the place of Yamaraj, and there Krishna blows the conch shell, and it is mentioned that immediately everyone gets liberated there. Everyone, all the people who are suffering in the hell, immediately gets liberated just by Krishna's blowing of conch shell. And then Yamaraj glorifies Krishna and returns the son back to him. And then Krishna and Balaram come back and gives the desired son of the teacher back to him. So this is how Krishna reciprocates in this instance with Vasudeva Devaki, Nanda and Yashoda, and Sandipani Muni and his wife. Hare Krishna. I'm sorry for taking so much time. We'll end here. Any comments? Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.